This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Over the weekend, hunters around the state were invited to register and participate in the Wile E. Coyote Hunt. Prizes were given out for the largest coyote killed, and participants were allowed to kill as many coyotes as they could. That's not just the contest goals, that's also the state's allowed policy. It is open season on coyotes in Vermont. There's no bag limit and no closed dates during the year. Today on the program, we're going to talk about this policy, and we'll be joined by the commissioner of the Department for Fish and Wildlife in a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk with the organizer and owner of the Wile E. Coyote Hunt, Todd Baldwin. Hi, Todd. Thanks for talking with us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. I understand this is your first year running this contest, and you bought the rights from the previous owner. Why did you want to host it?
Nah, it's not my first year. It's my third year.
Okay, so why do you like hosting this?
Because the guy was getting out of it. I used to join it when he had it, and I've been looking in on to doing it, and so I just bought it from him and started doing it.
What do you enjoy about it?
Just to have some people to, you know, hunt coyotes and keep coyotes in check, you know, not have an overpopulation.
So this year, how many hunters participated? It was over this past weekend, wrapped up yesterday. How many hunters did you have?
35.
And what were the prizes?
Everybody paid $25 to join. I just, you know, it pays out first, second, third prize. I just pay all the money back to the hunters. And, you know, that's it.
And it's a prize for the largest coyote?
Yeah, first, second, third, yep. First prize, second prize, and third prize, yep.
Some of the contests like this have prizes for the most coyotes killed as well. Is that something that you do in yours?
No. Nope. 35 people, we only had four coyotes that were reported in.
And how big was the biggest one?
42 pounds.
So often these hunts, Todd, are conducted with a lot of secrecy because there's anger and controversy surrounding them. You seem to, if not invite that kind of controversy, at least be willing to confront it because you've been very open, very willing to talk to the press. People knew about this contest and even where you're located in Bristol. So why did you make that decision to be public about it?
Just to get, you know, more people interested in it. I think it's no different than having a buck bull or a fishing derby. You know, they all get prizes, and I think there's no difference.
We got a note. We got many notes. We got one from somebody who goes by Night of the Living Refs and says, "Since moving to Vermont, I've been impressed by the quiet respect deer hunters have for nature. I've heard many local friends tell me that they can feed their family for weeks or months from one deer. The attitude and behavior of coyote hunters and the pure senselessness of coyote hunting disgusts me. It brings out the worst in human nature, the sheer bloodlust of a person who feels happy when they can torment and kill something merely for the joy of the slaughter." Todd, how would you respond to that listener?
Well, it's where we usually hunt. The farms where we usually hunt, they had a record kill on deer this past year on the first day. And it's when we first started hunting where we hunt. I got on videotape of 26 coyotes in one field right behind one of the farmers' farms.
But to the question that this listener has about bloodlust, you know, deer hunters often eat deer, you know, you eat the meat, you maybe tan the hide. But for coyote hunters, often the coyotes are left where they're killed. There doesn't seem to be meat that's eaten very often. Is it about bloodlust?
No. I've never heard of anybody eating a coyote. I mean, some of you can try it, but most of my coyotes that we usually get, if they have good pelts or something like that, you know, we have people that take them. And most of the four people that killed their coyotes this year are going to have them mounted. So
how do you respond to people? I mean, you've experienced it now. You've certainly seen in the media that people are upset about this contest. Some people appreciate it. Certainly the 35 hunters who joined in like the contest. But how do you respond to people who find this disgusting?
Well, if you know, if they had an animal taken from them, like I got 15 hunting dogs at my house, and I've had, with my neighbor had complaints about my dogs barking, so I spent over $600 to $700 on bark collars for my dogs. And the last couple of nights, I've had chickens taken by, one of my cats taken in my barn from a coyote. And my brother went and said my animals yesterday, and there was a fox in there that took some of my laying hens.
In other words, you think the coyotes are a nuisance animal? They're killing your animals, and therefore hunt them.
Yep. I've had some friends that had cats taken. Most of the farms where we hunt have had calves taken. The state biologist lady was saying on TV the other night that they only eat small rodents and stuff like that. I've gotten plenty of pictures of coyotes eating sheep, taking deer down, and stuff, you know, like that.
That's Todd Baldwin. He's the organizer of the Wiley Coyote Hunt for 2017, which just concluded in Bristol yesterday. Todd, thank you very much for speaking with us. Sounds like you've got a snow day with your kids today.
Have a good day.
You too. We're going to continue this conversation with other voices now. And listeners, you can add yours by calling 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also post a comment on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Lynn says, I'm deeply disturbed by this coyote killing spree that the state of Vermont is participating in. There are no protections in place for private landowners, for Vermont citizens wanting to walk freely in the woods without concern for their well-being, or their canine companions who could easily be mistaken for a trophy coyote kill. Scientific studies clearly indicate that coyote genocide does not succeed in anything other than disrupting crucial social connections in packs and numbing very impressionable young hunters to the seriousness of taking a life for sport versus survival. But Bruce says coyote hunting in this part of Vermont commenced about 25 years ago when Bambi Freeman, a sheep farmer in Stowe, lost more than a dozen sheep in one single night to a pack. They only ate a part of one. They stampeded the flock around and around the pasture, and as soon as they ripped the throat out of one, went on to the next. Jim says, I have my rights and I'll continue to protect my livestock. Food for my table is also important. I respect wildlife and all endangered species. However, coyotes are not endangered and are overpopulating our area, much like other invasive species, which we work to eradicate. And let's go to Daniel calling in from Milton. Hi, Daniel. What are your thoughts today?
Hello, Daniel. My thoughts are, I'm all for the coyote contest. Like he says, you know, it's no different than a fishing derby. If you were to go out onto the lake today, there wasn't all the snow, you would see thousands of pounds of fish on the lake. You know, the LCI producer catches a lot of fish. Not all of them make it, you know. And I'm just all for it. I've been an avid coyote hunter for 20 years. You know, we hunt Franklin County, and we have one lady, and she has a half-acre land, and we have permission from all the bordering properties, and course, we chase a coyote with hounds, and it runs next to our property. And we sit in the road, we block the road so that the coyote and the hounds will make it across safely so we can make it a humane harvest. It isn't like, you know, we're bloodthirsty. We take the fur, we sell the fur. You know, it's a sport that we enjoy doing.
Well, Daniel, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your perspective. Thanks for that. And listeners, if you'd like to join and share yours, a lot of people trying to call. You may be better off going to vpr.net, and you can post a comment on the Vermont Edition page. Or you can keep trying. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Let's bring in some other voices now. Lewis Porter is Fish and Wildlife Commissioner. Melissa Hoffman owns a 1,300-acre farm in Huntington and is a member of the Vermont Coyote Coexistence Coalition. They're both joining us for the rest of this conversation. Commissioner Porter, nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Melissa Hoffman, nice to have you in the studio as well today.
So nice to be here. Thank you.
Melissa Hoffman, I'd love to get your thoughts on what you heard from Todd Baldwin, the organizer of the Wiley Coyote Hunt.
Well, I hear two things. I hear that there's an enjoyable element to the sport, which, and I also hear that the rationale for killing these coyotes is out of concern for their overpopulation and the mischief that might create and the harm that might cause to other farmers. And I just want to make a distinction when we're talking about this issue. There's coyote numbers, which are not in danger of being diminished even by the most aggressive hunts. And then there's social stability, which for me as a farmer, I'm most concerned with the quality and the social stability of the pack, because we have found on our farm that they, when they have their sufficient prey species, they do not in any way intrude on our lives as farmers. And we have a flock of 112 ducks. And in fact, they actually help control and keep in check the various predators like voles, woodchucks, that would otherwise harm our crops. And there are a lot of organic vegetable farms and nurseries, probably about five, as well as two other livestock farms in our general neighborhood. So as farmers, we advocate for social pack stability. And
but why? When you say that social pack stability is what's affecting, for instance, your ducks, why is hunting coyotes and leading to that instability a problem, more of a problem than just having the coyotes around in their sort of natural equilibrium?
Because coyotes, an alpha pair of coyotes will mate for life, and they will breed in response to the available prey in their area. They know where things are. They know where the rocks are. They know where the water is. They know where the dens are, where the available food sources are. And if one of those alpha pack members are killed, it creates social disruption. And in response, other coyotes will enter the territory to try to take the place of them. They will also respond to the diminishment of their numbers through hunting by having larger litter sizes. What happens when they have larger litter sizes in the springtime? They have to kill more stuff in order to feed their pups. So we find that that's how I would describe pack stability, is leave them alone if you don't want them bothering your livestock. Leave them alone if you don't want higher numbers. Leave them alone if you don't want coyote incursion into human communities that would naturally potentially cause problems. And usually there's only a few coyotes in a pack that would actually interfere with human settlement.
And is that just a price you pay as a farmer that raises livestock, that you have to assume that you're going to lose some to wildlife?
Absolutely not. I think that's also a myth, that it's incumbent on farmers to safeguard their livestock. We bring our ducks in every night. One of our neighbors who raises heritage breed sheep figured out how to do a proper kind of fencing, allowing wildlife to pass through. They had some predation from weasels. They made adjustments. They use a light that flashes, a red light that flashes at night to scare predators away. And they have never had a problem with coyotes.
Lewis Porter, Commissioner of Fish and Wildlife Department, why do we have an open season on coyotes in Vermont?
Well, it's really has been that way for a long time since coyotes came to the state. And we think about the 1940s. Actually, only four states in the country truly have a closed season. There's a couple that restrict seasons a day or two a year, but truly closed season only exists in four states around the country right now. So we're not out of the mainstream there. But the fact of the matter is that the coyote population is stable and healthy across the state, and that hunting coyotes poses no real risk to their population at all anywhere in Vermont.
Most of our hunting seasons, though, that are regulated by Fish and Wildlife are designed by the state as a way to manage a population or manage a herd. If hunting doesn't impact the population for coyotes, why have an open season?
Well, there's many reasons that we have hunting seasons beyond management of a herd or management of a population. And included among those are uses that the animals are put to, including as one of your callers commented or said, deer obviously are eaten and venison is eaten, but also for use of fur, which is common with coyotes that are taken either by hunting or by trapping. And in addition, one of the things that we know about coyotes is that they tend to be more aggressive, less afraid of people, and there tend to be more human coyote conflicts in places where there isn't hunting for them. And those, it's important both for the coyotes and for people that they remain wild, that they remain wary of people, And hunting is one way to accomplish that. I will say that, as Melissa suggests, the department recommends to farmers or to people who don't have coyote issues with their livestock that they leave well enough alone, that they don't hunt or actively pursue trying to manage coyotes on their property if they don't have conflicts. But the fact of the matter is that there are livestock conflicts with coyotes and domestic pet conflicts with coyotes and sometimes human conflicts with coyotes that occur even with the best management practices in place by the farmers. And those incidents do occur.
And so it's your perspective from Fish and Wildlife that if you allow hunting, it actually keeps the coyotes afraid of humans?
Yeah, I think that there's no real question about that. We've seen in a number of places an increase in human-coyote conflicts and bad human-coyote interactions where there isn't hunting. These are very important and very successful animals in the state and very successful animals around the country now. And they have adapted very well to humans. They live among humans quite well and very successfully. But I don't think there's any question that in places where there is not coyote hunting allowed or for whatever reason, you see an increase in the number of these conflicts.
We got a note from Stephen who says Todd Baldwin's comparison coyote contest being the same as fishing derbies is grossly inaccurate and gives fishing derbies a bad name. Most fishing derbies require fish to be kept alive, and ones that are killed are eaten, not wasted and killed for the simple job of killing. Kelly says, my husband and I are cattle ranchers who run 300 mother cows. Our cows calve in pastures with coyotes and other predators, and we have few problems. In fact, we appreciate coyotes for the job they do controlling populations of rabbits, ground squirrels, and other rodents, which help keep our pastures healthier. Killing contests do nothing to protect livestock. In fact, they probably increase the amount of conflicts. Indiscriminate killing fractures coyote families, leaving surviving pack members desperate and more likely to attack vulnerable prey like pets and livestock. Darter says, in regard to the debate on how coyote hunting should be regulated in Vermont, I'm opposed to trapping as it prolongs the fear and suffering they feel before they die. I'm against coyote killing contests or any other killing contest that rewards with money and prizes for taking the smallest, largest, most, etc. I'd like to see Vermont have a coyote season and not year-round hunting, especially while the pups are reliant on their mothers for food. Tim says, though, in contrast to what Stephen wrote, ever heard of fishing derbies? How's it any different? How is killing mice, voles, and squirrels any different? Ryan says, objectively, what would be the difference on open season versus regulated season? It appears to me that those who seek closed seasons would rather have no season. And Jesse says, it's absolutely incorrect that coyotes will not take down an adult deer. They use a great technique called hamstringing. They will chase it down and bite the back legs. The deer may get away at first, but the damage is already done. Slowly, the deer health deteriorates to the point where the coyote can take it down. Now, to a biologist that does their bone marrow studies in the spring, it just looks like the deer starved to death. Coyotes will also groom deer bedding areas. This will bump the deer around, stressing out the herd and making even more unhealthy deer. Lewis Porter, is that true?
You know, I don't know about all the specifics of that. It's certainly true that coyotes predate on deer and take deer. That's part of the natural order of things when you have a top predator. Which coyotes are one of our predators in Vermont. They're actually an amazing success story in the state in that they've come to have a stable and successful population in virtually all of Vermont at this point. So they certainly do some predation on deer. We don't believe that in any kind of significant or long term or broad on the landscape way that they are the determining factor on deer populations. Certainly they take some and they also provide a service in that they clean up carcasses that are killed in other ways. So just because a carcass of a deer has been eaten by coyotes does not necessarily mean that those coyotes are what killed that deer, obviously. But, you know, they certainly do take deer and they certainly take them and eat them, and especially probably during the wintertime.
We're talking about coyote hunting today. We're hearing from many sides of the debate over coyote hunting, whether or not the state should keep an open season on coyotes, some people who don't feel that coyotes should be hunted at all. Coming up, we're going to hear from the representative at the State House who wants the legislature to take a look at the hunting policy, and we're hearing from many of you. If you have a thought you'd like to share, you can call 1-800-639-2211 or post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today we're talking about coyote hunting with Fish and Wildlife Commissioner Lewis Porter and Vermont Coyote Coexistence Coalition member Melissa Hoffman. If you have a perspective you'd like to add to the conversation, call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211, or join the conversation on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Let's learn a little bit here briefly about what's happening on this front in the State House. On the line with us is Representative David Dean. Representative Dean, nice to talk with you again.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So you have proposed legislation that would look at coyote hunting. What exactly are you proposing?
I am asking that the department and board take a look at whether or not a regulation of the hunting season would be appropriate for coyotes. There is no presumed outcome, but the bill does call for a report that estimates the population of coyotes in Vermont, a summary of how Vermont regulates the hunting of coyotes, including the scientific basis for current regulation, and a summary of how other states regulate the hunting of coyotes, whether or not they do, is something that we in the legislative branch don't know. So it's really an information gathering request of the department and the board. Nothing in the bill specifically presumes that a hunting season would or would not be established. But we would like to have some informed discussion about the issue.
What's motivating this proposal that you're making? I mean, tell me a little bit about what's behind you bringing this now.
Well, there is, in fact, a public perception about what goes on with coyote killing contests. The nature of the hunt and sort of the online presence of attitudes towards coyotes. And it has spun off a backlash, informed or uninformed. We do not know at this point, and that's why the bill to maybe deal with some of the public perception problems that hunters are bringing on themselves in terms of an attitude towards a wild animal that does not sit well with many Vermonters.
What's your own personal perspective on this?
Well, I think in the situation that the commissioner described, where there are human animal conflicts, we have always allowed for the resolution of those situations with the demise of the animal, whether it's a bear, you know, raccoon, stealing your chickens, or, you know, whatever. We have allowed for resolution of those situations. And under any similar situation, a coyote is no better or worse off than any other animal that's creating a problem. The thing is that coyotes are an important predator within the ecosystem, and the ecosystem relies on all of its participants. We hunted the wolf to extinction. We hunted the catamount to extinction, and created a niche of top predator that smaller, less prepared or ecologically less prepared animal called a coyote has moved into. Yet the health of the overall ecosystem, the top predators are very important. Again, in terms of the public perception of how some of the attitudes are communicated to the general public about what should or shouldn't be done with coyotes, it has created an awareness and a request for a look-see, and that's what the bill does.
That's Representative David Dean, a Democrat from Windham County, talking about the proposal he's put together in the legislature to look at hunting seasons for coyotes. David Dean, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
Our number, if you'd like to share your perspective, is 1-800-639-2211. You can also carry on the conversation on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. With us today, we're talking with Lewis Porter, the commissioner of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and Vermont Coyote Coexistence Coalition member and farmer Melissa Hoffman. Melissa, you've been sitting quietly and listening for a while. What's your perspective on what you're hearing?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to highlight some of the things that Lewis Porter just mentioned in his comments, saying that only five other states have limited seasons on coyote. And I would just counter that with saying that that doesn't mean that's the wrong thing to do. We shouldn't just be following what the mainstream is doing. We should be really looking hard at what the scientific facts, what the ecology is, as we know it the best. And one of the things he also highlighted was that the fur is often used for these animals, and some hunters do use the fur. Some do, but many don't. Many just are known to leave the carcasses in the woods, to dump them in secret areas.
Which is legal.
Which is legal, of course. But I think still, if you want to call it a public perception, which I think is more of a fact, it seems quite wasteful. And when you look at the Vermont Trappers Association pelt sale, there were only 35 pelts there for $15, though coyote pelts only bring $15 a pelt right now. So it's not as if a trapper or a hunter will spend the time necessary to prepare that pelt for sale. And he raised an issue that indeed incidents do occur, but and also cited the need for us to incite fear in the coyote. But what we've learned about coyote biology is they are incredibly smart, and they're very good at recognizing what a threat is to them and what isn't. And usually when they when we encounter incidents, it's usually due to humans leaving food out for them or making food readily available to them, like through garbage or through cat food or other kinds of even livestock feed that's left out as an attractant. So I think we have to look at incidents as human-caused and address them at their source rather than say, let's treat the symptom by killing that coyote, because we have to look at the entire system and the entire realm of responsibility when we're really looking at what's a sound coyote policy for Vermont. How do we change the culture of perception that isn't just about a few hunters bragging about the coyotes they're killing? And it isn't about the backlash against that, but it's really looking at what makes sense ecologically, what makes sense for the health of our woods, for the health of our soils, and for the health of the other cascade of animals that rely on these top predators.
So what would you like to see? Do you want a closed season, or are you trying to suggest that there should be no coyote hunting?
I think as an initial step, we should definitely remove the open season because of just the opportunity for abuse that it invites. Anyone can go on any unposted property and hunt a coyote 24/7 and day or night, any time. And I think that poses a conflict with people who would otherwise want to enjoy Vermont's landscape, its wilderness, either as a landowner or as a peaceful occupant of a community or as someone recreationally enjoying being out in the woods. To be free of that fear is important, I think. And that's what I think.
Although there are hunting seasons all throughout the year. So, I mean, maybe not 365 days a year, but there are many, many seasons.
Correct. And we can modify our behavior. We always put orange vests on our dogs during deer season, even though we post our property. We keep them in. We keep them in during fawning season. We adjust based on not only our knowledge of the hunter, but also on our knowledge of the wildlife that we're cohabitating with. And I think the more we learn about them, the more coexistence makes sense. And there was just a new article released in the Journal of Mammalogy devoted to this entire issue, where ecologists are now learning that coexistence is a far more strategic and more effective way of reducing negative impacts of coyote populations or any other predator populations.
But you said initially closed season. Are you advocating eventually for no hunting?
For me, I would say that based on my understanding of coyote biology and ecology that I learned from wildlife ecologists, our foresters, people, wildlife experts like Sue Morse, when you even have a limited system, season, you're still upending pack stability, and that is what causes the problem that everyone says they're trying to address. That the explosion of coyote numbers and the incursions that we all would like to avoid, cat, pet predation, and wildlife predation. And even who was it that spoke? I think it was Todd who said he's had some chickens killed, and we, you know, I would say that as a poultry farmer, that was unnecessary. That is the responsibility of the farmer to secure their poultry, especially at night. And it takes care and it takes time to do that.
Commissioner Porter, I want to give you a chance to respond to Melissa.
Sure. Let me just say, first of all, something that I guess I haven't made clear yet, which is that the department would never advocate for elimination or any threat to a wildlife population, including coyotes. I think they are an incredibly important part of our ecosystem, of our ecology, and we're only having this conversation at all because the population of coyotes is healthy and stable and in good shape across the state. So if there was a risk to the population, as Chairman Dean alluded to, that would be a biological regulation that we would advocate for. However, the fact of the matter is that the coyote population is very healthy and stable across the state, and hunting coyotes doesn't pose a risk to that population. Their role in the ecology is important, and it's going to be sustained.
But what about that question of if you hunt coyotes, their biological response is to have larger litters, and that basically hunting doesn't have an impact on their population. So hunting the coyote is not effective in any way to sort of manage that kind of interaction.
In terms of long-term management of the population, no. But in terms of maintaining coyotes' wariness of people, it is effective in maintaining that, and does maintain that. And many of these many of the conflicts with humans that we see happening around the country and in Canada occur in cities or other places where they're not hunted. And so the disruption of pack stability is certainly something to be aware of and be concerned about. It's one of the reasons that we suggest that people, farmers, not try to adjust the coyote population where they're not having conflicts. But there are other things that cause conflicts with humans as well, and the lack of wariness by coyotes being familiar with people is certainly part of that.
We're going to keep having this conversation. Listeners, I want to make sure we get to some of your thoughts and questions here. Many of you wanting to weigh in on this question of coyote hunting as we have this conversation on Vermont Edition today. You can share your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or call 1-800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We're talking today about coyote hunting. It's open season on coyotes in Vermont. We're listening to a little bit of explanation of why that is from Lewis Porter, Fish and Wildlife Commissioner. We're also hearing from Melissa Hoffman, who owns a 1,300-acre farm in Huntington. She's opposed to coyote hunting. She's a member of the Vermont Coyote Coexistence Coalition. And we're hearing from many of you who have some perspectives on this, both pro and con, some nuanced perspectives, some questions as well. If you'd like to share yours, our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or on Facebook or Twitter. Let's go to Linda calling in from Halifax. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks to all of your participants for discussing this issue. I just wanted to bring up one point that really resonates with me with respect to an argument for closing season, and that is that when the season is fully open, coyotes can be killed when they have dependent young. And during that same time that their pups would be orphaned, their pelts are not prime either. So I find it really difficult to justify killing animals during that time of year when they have dependent young. And I was just wanting to get that point in.
Well, Linda, I appreciate you sharing your perspective. Thank you for calling in. Let's hear from David in Shrewsbury. Hi, David. What are your thoughts?
Hello. My name's David. I live in Shrewsbury. I've hunted and fished in Vermont for most of my life. I'm 65. Whenever I see a coyote or a coy dog in the woods, I have total respect for them. They have a really bad rap. They're baited. They're hunted out of season all the time. And I just feel that if you're not going to eat what you get, unless they're bothering your livestock or causing some detriment to your farm, that's what the game warden's for. They'll give you a permit just like they do. If a deer is eating your vegetables in your garden, you can take the deer and use the meat. And coyotes are just, they're very elusive. They're beautiful to hear in the woods. I've been in tree stands and watched young deer right next to me with coyotes screaming 100 yards up the ridge, and they're not even affected in the good weather. It's only when a deer is weak or sick that they typically would take one, unless they find a newborn in the spring, and they're the only natural predator that I see out there, other than maybe a bear. So I really like to stick up for them, and when I see them in the woods, I'm really happy, and it's an honor to be around them and to hear them. And it's a shame that they're killed. A crow gets better respect, and they're hunted for no reason, too.
David, thanks for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate that. And one more here from Sarah in Salem, New York. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call. I am calling because I raise sheep, and I also train dogs. I'm just over the border from Vermont in New York State, and I have a terrible problem with hunters, coyote hunters, and the packs of hounds they use. I have had, I believe, like Melissa said, it's my responsibility as a keeper of livestock to keep them safe. It's the coyote's job to support themselves and earn their own paychecks. And my biggest issue is actually with coyote hunters who feel emboldened because of a 365-day season, apparently. I've had more trouble trying to keep coyote hunters off of my property. And most importantly, their packs of dogs, which they have virtually no control over. And I literally have had sheep deaths from packs of hounds running near my property, scaring my sheep to the point of them running into fences and breaking their necks, whereas I've never had a problem with coyote predation because it's my job to keep my sheep safe. So that's my point. At the very least, I would appreciate a closed up some portion of the year being a closed season, particularly when mothers are nursing their pups. It seems extraordinarily unfair and unnecessary to kill these beautiful creatures.
Sarah, thanks for your thoughts. I appreciate hearing them. Jesse writes, the real issue here is not the coyotes. People have a problem with the people who hunt them. People see Facebook posts, pictures, skewed stories from a neighbor, or one bad experience with hunters, and now they're out to get them. They try and paint us as an uneducated, bloodthirsty killers wanting to shoot anything we see on site, no matter if it's a dog, horse, or coyote. If they truly cared about coyotes, they would let us continue managing the coyote population. We got a note from Alex in Peacham who says, my family had a very scary incident a couple of years ago in the Peacham Town Forest when I was walking with my husband, one-year-old daughter, and our dog. Our dog was viciously attacked by three coyotes, and we were then surrounded by them while they stood about 20 feet away from us growling. Luckily, we all got out of the woods unharmed, and our dog recovered after an emergency trip to the vet. I support hunting coyotes, Alex says, as I believe it helps keep coyotes wild and afraid of humans and would limit these types of scary interactions. And Chris in Tunbridge says, okay, this is about culture, not coyotes. I'd like to hear where your guest from the coalition is from originally. This is those with a different culture telling Vermonters what we should feel and how we should act in order to change the Vermont culture. It will start with the coyotes and then move on to the next animal. Melissa Hoffman, I want to give you a chance to defend yourself.
Well, I think it is about the culture. I think it... I've been a farmer for many years. I moved to Vermont in 1997 to farm, to establish an organic vegetable farm, left the state and came back, and am now doing this project in Huntington where I've lived for the last 14 years. So I think a lot of the comments that you've just read are represent a diversity of people who question this practice. I think it's a flawed argument to say those people are coming into our state to tell us what we should be doing, and that's just not the case. And I think it's an easy way to create a division that doesn't really exist. We're all interested in a smart way forward that keeps our way of life here in Vermont intact and vital. And if we could just mow down those divisions, we could all recognize that there's a kernel of that interest in so many of the comments on either side of the issue and move forward from that place. And I just think that tradition, however, or outmoded ideas like we have to maintain the fear of the coyote, that's just not a justification for this open season, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So what does work? And how can we even confront some of our traditions and maybe leave them behind? It might be time for that. How can we join those other five states that have closed seasons on coyotes? That might be the right thing to do.
Let's go to John in Roxbury. Hi, John. You've been waiting on the line. Thanks for waiting. What are you thinking?
Hi. I had a question for Lewis Porter. You stated on the Fish and Wildlife states on its website that it opposes bounty hunting of coyotes. So why are you allowing these killing contests? My second point is that coyotes are really important for controlling rodent populations in our woods. Rodents are the prime breeding ground of Borrelia burgdorferi, which is the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. So unregulated killing of coyotes could be considered a hazard for human health. So again, why are you allowing these contests?
Lewis Porter?
Sure. Let me just say before I answer John's question that you know, one of the things that makes my job so great and that makes me so excited about it is that people in Vermont care so much about wildlife, and they have different perspectives, different opinions, different thoughts about how we should handle that and regulate that, but they all care about it. And I just welcome that, and I'm glad to hear that in this conversation. To quickly answer John's point, The coyote hunting contests are not promoted or encouraged or supported by the department. They are legal under state law, and I think that's what Chairman Dean's bill is about, is giving the legislators a chance to look at whether that should be changed through legislation. And so that's a short answer to John's question.
Well, I have one last question for you, Lewis, from Brenna Galdenzi, who's president of the organization Protect Our Wildlife, who says, does the department support a required study on not only coyote populations, but also a study on how this reckless, arbitrary open season killing is disrupting pack and family unit stability? Brenna says, it's not all about numbers and population. It's about doing things in a mindful, respectful, biologically sound manner. And that's not happening in our current state.
Well, there's always a difficulty when you go from a regulation based on biology to a regulation based on ethics. And we do have some of those kinds of regulations, but it's always a trickier conversation, I think. There's no risk to the coyotes biologically from the current regulations, but the legislators can have that question can have that discussion, and we're happy to be part of them and part of that, and to provide them with any of the knowledge that our biologists have about coyotes and coyote populations.
So you do support the idea of a study, or you at least are okay with that?
You know what? We're fine with it. We've been concentrating in recent years on several species that are at risk in the state, but we are happy to do some work and to spend some time instead on evaluating coyote populations, if that's the legislature's request to us.
That's Lewis Porter, Fish and Wildlife Commissioner. Thanks for being on the show today, Lewis.
Thanks so much. It was a great talk.
And Melissa Hoffman owns a 1,300-acre farm in Huntington. She's also a member of the Vermont Coyote Coexistence Coalition. Melissa, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today, too.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Jane.
And that does it for today's show. Now, tomorrow, if this recent snowfall has you wanting to just curl up inside with a good read, tune into the show, because we will be talking about the books you're diving into to escape the winter weather. We want to hear your reading recommendations, whether they're new titles that have caught your interest or favorite stories to revisit. We'll also be joined by Vermont librarians to hear their picks. Send your book suggestions to vermontedition@vpr.net and listen live tomorrow at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri, Sam Gail Rosen, and Meg Malone. Mary Williams directed the show. Our executive producer is Patty Daniels. And our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening. Thank you.